I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab.
We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
How's everyone doing out there this afternoon? As we have a Wednesday edition of the Mark Reardon Show kicking off, we have the Hall of Famer in the room right now, Fred Bottomer.
Hey.
How are you, Fred?
Oh, I'm good. How you doing?
Whenever I do that, I always want to play this.
How about old Fred Bottomer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
Hey, there's a new member of the Hall of Fame today, right?
Yeah, Joe Buck is going into the Baseball Hall of Fame in the broadcaster's wing, right?
Yeah.
Just like his... You know, this is funny. I don't know if I told you this, but I took Alexa to see Soul on Fire, the John O'Leary movie, and she really liked it quite a bit. And then we were watching Monday Night Football this past Monday, and she heard Joe Buck's name, and she was confused. She's like, wait, wasn't that the guy that was... played, by the character right. in the Soul on Fire. And so I'm like, well, that was his dad. And I kind of explained that to her.
That's
so
impressive that she would make the connection.
She had a Christmas concert last night, Fred, I had to attend. Or I think they say holiday because there was no Christmas reference in the concert at all. They have to be so careful. It was good, though. Don't get me wrong. So they had like the fifth grade concert. It got canceled last week because of the snow. That one day where really it was fine by the afternoon. So they redid it last night. So I just put this up on Instagram. My daughter, who we're quite into, and Fred, I don't know if this has happened in your house, and Ethan's younger than both of us, but I've gotten quite into the whole 6-7 meme. And I don't even know what it means. I really don't. I just know that we have like some fun with it. So for example, when the Chiefs lost the other day, you know what their record is now?
Yes.
6-7, right. So Alexa does this all the time. There's sort of a hand signal that goes
like,
with 6-7.
Like you're juggling.
Right. So she's in the middle of this damn Christmas concert last night, and I'm videoing from afar because I was in the back. But she notices that I'm videoing, and she just starts doing her 6-7 shake when I'm, when she's singing her song. I'm paying attention, which is just perfect. But anyway, it was a fun concert, and it puts you in the holiday spirit. My neighborhood, I just got to give a shout-out to my neighborhood, Lower Bridlewood. It looks fantastic. It really does.
Christmas
lights? Yeah, Christmas lights, I think maybe more than ever. We've had a few people move into the neighborhood. There really is not a lot of turnover, but we've had a little bit because some of the kids have aged out, go to college, you got empty nesters. But every time I turn down my road, and I'm like the second house, as you know,
right.
It just looks like a great neighborhood. So I'm very proud of my neighborhood right now when it comes to Christmas. Sue Thomas is having a blast in Chicago right now. She's sending us pictures that have been manipulated by AI, and they're very entertaining. Her husband, Michael, I just got one where he was full 80s mullet, so I'm not sure exactly where she is, but she's up there in Chicago because it was her anniversary, one-year anniversary on Sunday. She will be back tomorrow. So my guess is that she'll have some stories to share with us tomorrow afternoon.
She loves to go to the Palmer House while there.
Isn't that where Tom Cruise was in Risky Business?
I think so. And she also went to a really great guitar center.
Yeah, saw the picture of that. That looked really, really cool. Well, because, Mike, her husband kind of Michael. I think we have to say Michael. She always says Michael. It's like my wife. Like, I call her Becky, but everyone knows her as Rebecca. So if I refer to her somewhere, people look at me like I'm calling her the wrong name. I'm like, no, it's the only name that I ever use. But he's in the, you know, the high-end audio business. So I'm sure that he, I don't know if he plays guitar, but I know that he has a lot of interest in how things sound. So that's maybe one of the reasons they went there. We have a full lineup here this afternoon. Brian Kilmeade is going to join us. Now, Fred, we always talk with Brian about the news of the day. We'll do that certainly. But this morning when I was waking up, and I had quite the wake up because my little dog slipped out the door when Becky was, you know, warming up the car and all that. So I woke up and I was very awake very quickly. But I happened to jump on Instagram, and Brian does this. Brian Kilmeade does this a lot, where he'll post videos, like walkthrough videos if he's going through the hallways, you know, or even in the elevator, talking about what he's going to do on the television show, what he's going to do on the radio show, which of course airs here every morning from 9 till noon. So I was captivated by this particular video because he was arriving, I think it was 3 o'clock, 3 a.m. I don't know when he sleeps, Fred. I really don't.
I don't either.
And someone is videoing him. It's not Allison, though. It's somebody else, because Allison works with him as his producer. So it's super quiet at Fox. Like, nobody's there. He's using his key card and everything, and they go up the elevator. But then they reference something. I didn't know this. Maybe you've heard about this. Brian has an issue with gum chewing. And I'm not exactly sure what that issue is, but it was referred to as, I have to ask him about that. What's his issue with chewing gum, right? Huh. It's apparently a thing. So
I didn't know that.
I didn't either. But we will get that answered here in a few minutes. Sean Spicer is going to join us this hour, a host of the Sean Spicer Show. And he also has a new podcast that he's kind of doing a soft launch for, that they're going to do on January 5th, where it's going to kick in. Alex Rich is here on a Wednesday afternoon. Now, we had a lot of fun on Monday with Alex because he's an IU and Indiana alum. He went up to the game over the weekend against Ohio State, and he literally snuck into the game. We'll kind of have to, you know, do that story in a little shorter version. But he also told me, Fred, that he had a grad, because a really good, this was a spur of the moment trip, a really good story about Comfort Inn and checking into the Comfort Inn. So we'll have to hear
only
that.
Alex.
Right. And I have a few other things that I want to share with you guys in the next hour. I got a whole list of stuff. Did you see, like, do we have audio of that plane that was landing in the middle of the highway?
Yeah.
What was, I saw Phil Holloway post about this. What the hell was up with this thing?
I don't know.
Pilot?
I think I've given you something.
Yeah, what is the, what's that labeled? Do you know? Because this is quite something. In the middle of plane. Plane one, though, is, it says 23 cockpit audio. So that's different, right, than the, that's the jump seat one. Okay, we'll find it here eventually. Here it is. Florida Motorist. So a plane, envision you're on 44, 64, 40, or you're on 270, and you're just driving home from work, or you're out there like right now, but it's a little darker, and there's a plane that comes down and lands right on the highway.
Have chops, I swear. Oh my goodness. A plane just crashed onto a
highway.
I mean, imagine seeing that take place on a highway. Now, let's see if anyone was hurt. Do you know if anyone was hurt? Because when I saw this video,
I think the people in the plane were fine. A slight injury for one of the motorists.
Yeah, this was on I-95 down in Orlando. We should ask Matt Pauly about this. He's down there for the winter meetings. A small multi-engine aircraft slammed into traffic on Monday night. The Beechcraft 55 plane was attempting an emergency landing when it smashed into a Toyota Camry on I-95 near Orlando. The pilot had reported engine problems the moment earlier. The crash sent debris flying across the road, left the sedan crushed near the median barrier. This is apparently one of the most traveled stretches between Orlando and Cape Canaveral. So imagine going home last night when this happened. They had to shut down lanes in both directions when they were trying to clean this up. So that was a mess. And yes, you're right. You had a 57-year-old woman who was behind the wheel of this car, and I can't believe there wasn't more injuries or more people hurt. She was taken to the hospital. The aircraft clipped her car, but they said like minor injuries, which is kind of interesting. If you look at the aftermath, you see the plane that's across a couple of lanes with all kinds of wreckage, and it's a small airplane. I mean, it's really, if you look at it, Fred, it's not a whole lot bigger than some of the, you know, the cars out there, right?
Right.
Did you hear how old the pilot is?
6'7"? No.
Almost.
Oh, okay.
2'7".
Oh.
Yeah, he's only 27. Yeah. Doesn't that kind of catch your surprise right there? All right. Then there's the, you know, I mentioned the holiday concert last night. I I walk in, the president's speaking. I come out an hour and 10 minutes later, the president is still speaking.
Remember when I started in 2015, I made my first speech, and I said, we're going to bring back Christmas. Remember, they wanted to, the radical left wanted to get rid of the, they wanted to get rid of the word Christmas.
So, Fred, I sent you a message last night because as I'm listening to this, I realize there's going to be a ton of content that comes out of the speech. This was more like a campaign-style speech. We kind of knew that going in. He's in Pennsylvania. The messaging is supposed to be on the economy and affordability. And by the way, one of the big stories of the day today is the Fed did lower the rates by quarter basis points, like 25 basis points, not 50. But still, that was a good move. Of course, President Trump was certainly encouraging that. So he did focus a little bit on, you know, the economy. And in, this is where I think he gets misinterpreted, because I've seen some things today that indicate that President Trump is not understanding the affordability. He's mocking. I saw one of the comments this morning. He's mocking people over the affordability. I don't think that's what he's doing.
I can't call it a hoax because they'll misconstrue that. But they use the word affordability, and that's their only word. They say affordability. And everyone says, oh, that must mean Trump has high prices. No, our prices are coming down tremendously from the highest prices in the history of our country.
So sometimes the president knows things are factual and he understands them. And maybe he doesn't explain them as well as he should. But he's not wrong about that, because there are these words that get, you know, passed around as talking points. And Fred, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that we didn't mention the word affordability during the presidential race. But I will tell you this. We didn't really use that word affordability until these November elections. Then all of a sudden it became a talking point. So what the president's saying is, yeah, they're using that as a weapon against him. And to a certain extent, that's true. On the other hand, look, there are warning signs out there about the economy. We're going to address those. I think Sean Spicer is very concerned. We'll talk with him about that after 3:30. Before I break, we'll just have to get this in, because this is the one where you shake your head and you know that he's going to say things like this because he's President Trump. He's not really a big fan of Ilhan Omar right now.
Do we have any individuals from Somalia in the group? Please raise your hand. That's for Minnesota, you know. That's called the Great Big Minnesota Scam with one of the dumbest governors ever in history. I love this Ilhan Omar, whatever the hell her name is, with the little ching, the little turban.
Uh-oh.
I love her. She comes in, there's nothing but she's always complaining. She comes from a country where, I mean, it's considered about the worst country in the world, right? They have no military, they have no nothing, they have no parliament. They don't know what the hell the word parliament means. They have nothing. They have no police. They police themselves. They kill each other all the time. I love it. She comes to our country, and she's always complaining about, the Constitution allows me to do this. We ought to get her the hell out. She married her brother in order to get in, right? Yeah. She married her brother.
Well, he had to go there, and he's not wrong, ladies and gentlemen.
Can you imagine if Donald Trump married his sister? Beautiful. She's a beautiful person. If I married my sister to get my citizenship, do you think I'd last for about 2 hours, or would it be something less than that? She married her brother to get in. Therefore, she's here illegally. She should get the hell out. Throw the hell out. She does nothing but complain.
I would argue that if a Republican did that and married their sibling just to get them here to this country legally, it might be just a tad bigger story. But in fact, that is factually accurate from everything that I've looked at this point. So he had a lot of fun last night. I'm not convinced that the 90-minute rambling, weaving speeches are going to be the best, you know, course of action moving forward. Even for people who want to see him, and that thing went on for a while, right? And you get the highlights, but there was a lot of weaving going on. And I hope that they're communicating what they need to communicate on the economy. But we're going to find out. We'll get some takes on that. Brian Kilmeade's coming up. We have Sean Spicer, the 4 o'clock hour, Ethan's News, because Sue is off. We'll have Dwayne Patterson from Hot Air, always one of my favorites. And then, Fred, as you know, this is kind of a big story out there. Australia has just begun the world's first social media ban for children under the age of 16. Our friend from Throttle It, George Rosenthal, is going to weigh in on that. I know that when my wife heard that story this morning, she was all about that. Yeah, they should do it here, and that's one of the questions we'll ask George a little later in the show.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Sean Spicer coming up after the bottom of the hour. Right now, our friend Brian Kilmeade. You heard him this morning here on 97.1 FM Talk, and he was on Fox and Friends. He's everywhere all the time. How are you, Brian?
Oh, good.
You know, there's so many issues that I want to discuss with you, but I want to get to the most important ones, because the way I started my day was watching you walk into work at, I believe, 4 a.m., or was it 3 a.m. at Fox this morning, kind of given the walking tour. It was 4 a.m., right?
It was, I'm up at 3, out of the car at 4.
Yes. So I have several questions that came from this particular video. Why doesn't Brian Kilmeade like gum, for example? There was an anti-gum stance that was taken there. What's the issue?
I cannot take it. It drives me nuts. I actually have to, and it embarrasses my family. I actually can't speak to someone if they're chewing gum. It just goes right through me.
Oh my gosh.
I can never take it. It absolutely, and I have to tell people too. I'm like, hey, ahead of time, if you don't mind, can you not chew that? Because I won't be able to concentrate. And I remember, like, it's in like second grade, my mom chewing gum and just enraged me. So, and then I found out that Kelly Ripa has the same thing. There's a name for it. It's the act of chewing that drives me. It's like a physical reaction.
I've never heard this.
Crazy.
That is unbelievable. All right, so we got that cleared up. Why do you have a pair of blue pants that you cannot find the matching suit jacket for? This sounds like a crisis.
A little bit. So, I mean, I have a lot of different wears with different blue suits. And what happened is, somewhere along the line, my darker shade pants got with my lighter shade jacket to the point where people are like, you wearing a blazer? I'm like, is that, you know, you're a little off. So I've been trying to catch up to this outfit and rematch it and get them back together. And I just can't do it. So there's always an extra dark jacket and lighter pants and vice versa. I can't. This has been going on for a year.
Oh, my gosh. All right. One final question and we'll get to some more serious stuff. What is bone broth? What the hell is that? And how does it give you the, quote, extra kick you need at noon? Please help me there.
Oh, well, it's extra protein, and it's one of those things where I don't really like to eat until after I'm done with radio.
Yeah, so I'm that way, too. I get that. Yeah.
And I always have this. It's like chicken soup, but they just said they looked at a blood profile and they go, if you could have something like bone broth that would build up the protein and red blood cells, I go, great. So I ordered a bunch, but like an idiot, I didn't just order like two boxes. I was on like the bone broth a month plan. And now I'm getting a box, like a big box that has 16 boxes in it every month. And I can't convince these people to stop sending it to me.
Oh, my goodness. I'm so glad I watched that video this morning because this answers so many interesting, inquisitive questions about Brian Kilmeade. Let's talk about some politics. What did you think? I mean, I walked into a Christmas concert for my daughter. The president was just starting. I came out. I still think in the middle. There was a lot of weaving going on last night in Pennsylvania, but a lot of this is about refocusing, you know, the message on the economy, Brian. I'm just not sure the campaign style speeches that go on like that is the best way to address it right now. But President Trump's going to do what President Trump does.
Well, a couple of things. What I think he could focus on, too, are the everyday people he brought up. So he brought up a waitress, no taxes on tips. He brought up a blue-collar worker, no taxes on overtime. Someone with Social Security who can now write off a degree to their taxes. So these are things, real-life people benefiting from what's coming next year, let alone people's refunds are going to be greater because the tax structure is now permanent. So, and he talks about things that are coming down the pike. What I like is he re-messaged. He didn't say, affordability is a hoax, I got to run. You know what he meant. He's like, really? You're coming after me on affordability when you handed me this unaffordable economy? You had inflation up to 9%. I gave it to you at 2.1%. And you think I made the country unaffordable? That's what he was saying. Now he says, yeah, you made it unaffordable. I'm trying to fix it. So that's his new messaging. And I think that that's something that Republicans, that people can rally around. And I think it's accurate. What Trump is running up against is when he says, you know, on day one, I'm going to fix it. On day one, you could start building the wall. And on day 10, you basically seal the border. But on day one, you can't stop economic principles,
right?
Economic, you know, things that are, you know, who can stop inflation on day one? You're not Superman. No super economic. And nobody can do that. So now when it didn't change, the Democrats had a talking point. And then they say, well, he's traveling so much, he's not focusing at home. And he said, use that time last night to say, yeah, I'm traveling. But you know what I'm doing? I'm coming back with trillion-dollar trade deals with these countries. So if I was him, I would just say, okay, I'm going to go and do my rally. You know what I'm doing tomorrow? I'm going to go out to that data center that the MBS is paying $500 million for. I want to see the ground broken. I want to see the plumbers lining up and the pipe fitters. I want to see them, hey, electricians. These people got jobs. I want to see the sites and say, hey, that's UAE. That's Qatar. You know, that's Bahrain. These are the trade deals I got. The European Union, excuse me, Japan is now building in Arizona a Toyota plant. We are now selling, Ford is now selling in Japan for the first time. Can I see that? Can the president roll some of that information, like a
right.
dealership opening up in Japan? So I would do that. You know?
I've got one for you, and maybe he did mention this last night. Again, I didn't hear the whole speech. This is a significant story. I think it should be a national story. They are, and I know this is happening in Pennsylvania and elsewhere, but they're refiring up a steel plant here in Granite City across the river, and we're going to add 400 jobs. That is
wow.
Incredible. I mean, that used to be an industry that really was part of the sustainability of our region, along with Chrysler that had a plant out where I live. But, I mean, that's a big story, significant economic story.
It is. And remember, he said U.S. Steel, and he first said, you're selling U.S. Steel to Japan when he was a candidate. But then he sat down there and looked at the deal, and he said, yeah, we'll do the deal, but let U.S. Steel still own it. You know, you come in, you can revamp it, revitalize it, don't collapse. And he said, we won't. So they worked out the deal. Trump did this deal. So now U.S. Steel is back. Yes, it's fortified by a more successful steel company in Japan. But so what? That happens every day. So it was allowed to literally rust away. So that would be something. I want to see the president standing in front of that place. Remember, he doesn't have to worry about a Solyndra situation. This is not on spec. We think we have renewable energy, and with Solyndra was a boondoggle. Wasn't it the intention for it to fail? But that steel plant by you is not going to fail. They already got the customers and the money.
Yeah.
You know, the dealership that's being built, you know, the Hyundai dealership being built in Georgia is not going to fail. We know that. I mean, come on. But now they're going to build it, and now they're going to hire the right people, which meaning Americans. So there's a lot of things he could be doing. I'd go to the wall tomorrow. I'd go to the border tomorrow. I'd go from Arizona to Texas to New Mexico, and I would talk to all the Border Patrol. That legion of of media would follow him, and next thing you know, you have a storyline.
Yeah, you know, and I'd have to think, because there's a lot of people talking about what we're discussing right now, you would have to think that, you know, Susie Weiss in the White House, I know that she's chief of staff, not on the campaign side, and a lot of this focuses on the campaign side with the midterms, but they have to be aware of this. And, you know, let's go back to what you said about affordability, Brian, because I think that your interpretation of what Trump was saying is accurate. The problem is what I read this morning in a lot of the publications is he's writing off affordability as a hoax. Or I've even seen some of the, well, these are the never Trumpers. Oh, you know, he's making the same mistake that Biden made. So sometimes Trump's not exactly dialed in on what specifically maybe the messaging should be. But then he gets same thing with Charlotte, you know, very fine people. The context is always missing when it gets reported.
Well, the thing is, Mark, you could choose to do that. You could choose. They're choosing to do that because I did watch, you know, I did watch over an hour of the speech. I did see him say they broke it. He goes, they gave me it, but they gave me this economy that's broken. Inflation went high. I'm going to fix it. That's his new message. He says it's real simple. He actually outlines it. Goes, it's simple. Yeah, it's there is an unaffordable economy, and I'm in a process of fixing it. So, and he's doing everything he can. What I think, and my analogy today was, it's like if the Buffalo Bills jumped out 0-4 and they were 17th in offense, I look at that number and I go, don't worry, they have too much talent. They're going to turn it around. And they would. When Trump's numbers are 36% approval on the economy, that's his forte. I look at that and go, okay, just right, ready to go. Priming the pump. They're rejiggering the offense to win it all. So next year, it's 26, 1 month away, you're going to see all these things that he put together, like the rates got cut and the market soared today. So more of those rates get cut, all of a sudden the housing market unfreezes, and then we begin to see people getting their refunds that are going to be substantial, all the other things that we talked about. The gas is going to go under $2.50 instead of just under $3. And then people are going to say, get diesel down. That will help food. And then select areas in which he removes tariffs. I can see things starting to really hum. And then it doesn't matter, you know, what anyone says.
Yeah, but no, I agree. That's what you hear Kevin Hassett and Scott Bessent talking about. I hope they're right on that. So, yeah, you got to start now. And I think that that's what they realize. I know it's early. You have anything planned for Sunday night show yet?
Oh, yeah, I got the whole thing planned. I'm going to lead with James Woods, the actor.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm going to go. So that's going to be great. Frank Luntz is going to be coming on. Wesley Hunt's going to run for governor in Texas. I also got to get his take on Crockett running for the Democratic nomination. And then we got Jimmy Failla joining us. So I think that's my sellout. I think I might have one guest. I forgot. Wait, who is it? Oh, yeah. Marcus Lemonis. From The Prophet.
Oh, yeah, I love him.
He's going to be on. I want someone removed from the Trump team, but is involved in business. Tell me what the reality is on the ground.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, on the topic of Jimmy, I'm trying to cross-reference this right now. I think he just got announced to come to St. Louis, and it might be, you remember when you were here, you played The Factory last spring, which is an awesome venue. I think he might be doing The Factory. I'd have to check on that, but I just saw the announcement today.
Yeah, he's a top-level comedian. I mean, the radio aside, he's really – anybody who's thinking about going, thinking, is it worth it? It's absolutely worth it. I've seen his act a number of times. Every time it's different.
And his show airs right after mine here at 6 o'clock Central on 97.1 FM Talk. Brian, have a great week. We'll talk hopefully maybe next week. You might be off. If not, have a great Christmas.
No, I'm working next week. I'll talk to you
next
week.
Okay, we'll see you then. Thank you.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is a reminder that shoes are a gift. Literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees.
My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of the Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Hey, one thing I wanted to mention, Scott Jennings' show airs at 8 p.m. here on 97.1 FM Talk. He got very self-indulgent today. He had John Mozeliak on for an entire hour on his syndicated Salem show, and we're going to air that tonight. Apparently, one little nugget that Scott has shared with me is Mo admitted to having a secret Twitter account. So I want to hear more about that for sure. We'll have Alex Rich here in the next hour. He shared an amazing story of sneaking into the Big Ten Championship, so we'll get the very latest on that. And we'll have Ethan doing Sue's News. Sue is off one more day. But right now, Sean Spicer, host of The Sean Spicer Show, available everywhere where you listen to your podcast. How are you, Sean? Good afternoon. Merry Christmas to you.
Well, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you as well. And by the way, I don't want to forget to mention this, so let's kind of start out of the gate. Did I see something on the social medias that you're starting something here in January that's called The Huddle?
Yeah, and the funny thing is, we've kind of, the industry word is a soft launch. So if you go to my YouTube channel, Sean M. Spicer, you'll see we do this thing live every morning at 8:30 a.m. Myself, Dan Turrentine, was my former co-host on the morning meeting, and Rachel Bade, who used to write Playbook at Politico, 8:30 a.m. on my YouTube channel. We talk politics, give you a breakdown of all of the day's kind of key events and analysis. And what's different, Mark, about this is that it's not, we're not looking to, like, Dan's, got strong bona fides in the left Democratic Party. He's Hillary Clinton's finance director, Jared Polis's chief of staff. Obviously, I work for President Trump in the RNC. And the idea is to break down and analyze the stories, like what matters, what doesn't, who's up, who's down. Not in a partisan way of like, I'm better than you, which is kind of like how most cable news is,
right?
But to literally say, this is important, this isn't, or this is, you know. So we did an analysis this morning of the Miami race, Miami City race, down there in Florida, and what this means politically. And so, you know, again, part of it is through our own lens, but with Rachel playing traffic cop of giving people an understanding of what the key issues are, what, you know, sometimes you'll see a story, you go, is that really worth paying attention to? And that's kind of what our job is to do.
So, I was texting last night. I had a little Christmas holiday concert to go for my daughter, and the president had sort of started speaking as I went into the building, and I got out, and he was still speaking, and he went on, and I told Fred, my producer, who you communicate with, too, I said, I think that tomorrow's show content will mainly be, breaking down this speech. There were some campaign moments. So how do you even begin to get your arms around what happened last night in Pennsylvania? Because obviously, you know, the conventional wisdom, the narrative is, oh, Trump's getting out there talking about affordability, even though he doesn't like that name, because he realizes the Republicans are in trouble. And to a certain extent, you know, there's some polling numbers that are a little alarming. But what do you make of all that? Because obviously the left's going nuts about what he said about Ilhan Omar and some of these other things.
Oh, yeah. I know. As if, like, this is like, they always act like this is the first time they've seen him. Do you hear what Trump said?
No, I know.
He said Trump rally. So here's what, I actually wrote a column. I have a newsletter at SeanSpicer.com, and it's free, so it's not like I'm pushing anything here. But I sort of analyzed this. Like, what are our lessons learned? Here's the deal. In the 60 special elections that have happened, or elections that have happened in the last, I guess, since the beginning of the year, 35 times the incumbent party kept the seat. Like, so if it was Republican, it was Republican, Democrat, it was Democrat. But here's the kicker. Of the 25 times that it switched party, in every single case, it went Democrat. I mean, it went from Republican to Democrat. So we're 0 for 25. We lost last night in Miami. We lost two races in Georgia. We lost in Virginia and in New Jersey a couple weeks ago. We lost. We didn't lose. We kept the Tennessee race. But let me just be clear. I think anytime your opponent says that they hate the largest city in the district and you don't blow them out.
Yeah, right.
That you should go, oh, yeah. I mean, I get it. Everyone went, oh, it's a win. And I'm like, yeah, I get that. Like, yes, we won by 9. But when your opponent says, I hate Nashville, I hate country music, I hate bridal showers, I hate everything about this city, and then wants to represent it, and you can't blow them out by, you know, the 22 that Marsha Blackburn won, or the governor Mike Lee, Bill Lee won by, or, I mean, my point is, this is insane. And so I think that the answer is somewhat in last night, which is the president needs to be out there more. He's done a lot of great stuff in the first 10 months in office. Republicans have done a lot of great stuff, passing the big, beautiful bill, et cetera. But if you don't sell it, then especially right. In this day and age, one of the things, you know, you just asked me about this new show that we do. We're getting huge, huge numbers in the morning, right? It streams just now. We don't officially launch until January 5th, the first Monday in the new year. But the point is that too many Republicans are like, and I get it, don't get me wrong, because they're like, okay, in Missouri, I just go on Mark Reardon's show, and that's great. And that would have dominated 10 years ago. But now you got to go on Mark's show. You got to digitally go out and do some stuff. You got to get some influencers to talk about you. The greatest example I gave to people is Robert Cahaley. He's a fantastic pollster at the Trafalgar
Group. Oh, yeah. I know Robert.
So Robert calls me after the last poll that they did with Virginia Information before the election. We had this candidate here in Virginia for Attorney General Jay Jones that threatened to kill the former Speaker of the House's family. Okay. So Robert calls me and says, dude, you got to call Winsome Sears and Jason Wyaris and John Reed, the candidates. Because here's the thing. People over 50 are seeing that information because they're watching legacy media. They're listening to legacy media. They're reading legacy media. Everyone below that age is not even hearing about it. And he said, and you need to flag this for them because they need to start engaging with people who've cut the cord, with people who are also, frankly, just busy. Like, you know, when you have a special election, or in Virginia, we in New Jersey, they're off your elections. What happens is, You know, you're doing your job. You work hard every day. You go pick up the kids. You get dinner ready. And so we forget that, like, it's not your normal election year, you know, midterm election, presidential election. And so I think the point is too many Republican candidates and consultants, for that matter, are stuck in this mindset that you just put up 1,000 points of television in the last 6 weeks, and that's going to do the trick. And it's not. It's not going to cut it, Mark. These guys need to be everywhere, and not just in the last 6 weeks. They need to be doing Mark Reardon every week, every day, right? And the problem is they think, oh, okay, I'll just, and you know the type, Mark. I guarantee you know who I'm talking about. There's people all throughout the country. And they figure, oh, it's 6 weeks before an election. Now I got to call Mark and pretend we're buddies and that I've talked to him.
Yeah.
And, you know who these people are. I know it. And I see it all the time myself, where suddenly people want to get booked on a show. And I'm like, oh, it's interesting. You didn't care. This is the Republican mentality. We'll mail it in the last 6 weeks and hope people are paying attention. People are voting earlier. They're paying attention earlier. They need to be told all year long. Like I said, the big, beautiful bill has some massive, massive benefits to our economy, to people's bottom line, to people who no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security. But if we're not out there selling it all the time, then guess what? You're going to keep losing. This woman asking Ben down in Tennessee, like, I don't mean to harp on it, but I can't tell you a better example of someone that, like, should have just gotten crushed. And yet Everyone's around shaking their head like, gosh, look how well she did. Is it her? Yeah, you know what she did? She didn't talk about, like, we thought we had the silver bullet. We didn't do anything with it. Number two is she was out there talking about affordability. So to the extent that people heard a message, it was her saying, hey, I want to help you. And so she was doing a lot of great digital stuff. What do you think Mamdani did? The guy was fantastic on getting a message out. He was everywhere. He was omnipresent. And everyone went around saying there's no way that people will buy into this, you know, to his.
Yeah, they did.
We found a picture.
Yeah, but so,
like, oh, we found a picture of him hanging out with a terrorist 5 years ago. Guess what, though? No one else saw that.
Right. So then what I hear from you, look, we all know the history of the midterms and how the opposing party usually does well, not during 98 or 2002 or whatever. So that's part of the narrative right now. But what I'm hearing from you is that the messaging, and I hear this from listeners, too. Somebody brought up a couple of weeks ago, look, America, and this isn't all younger people. Some younger people, like my kids, they don't care about sports. But live sports has a big audience. Why aren't the Republicans doing messaging during that, right, and telling people what the hell they're doing? So that's a bit of a miss.
So here's the deal. In my first book, The Briefing, I wrote about this, that during the one of the things, I had all these ad buyers who would come in and see me at the RNC. And these guys who represent RSNs at the time, regional sports networks, they're the guys that run your college football, you know, all that kind of stuff, the Big Ten, the SEC and everything. And they were like, do you realize that Romney bought nothing? No TV, no regional sports networks. And but you're hitting the nail on the head. Do you realize sports, think about this, no one, except for people, like every once in a while, you'll DVR a game and then kind of blow through the commercials. Most people, though, watch live events live. And our side needs to get that. That's what you just said is so important that, like, that's another missed opportunity for our side. And people are like, you know, we've continued to screw this up. And I'll tell you another great example. If you live in an area where there's a heavy Hispanic population, Univision is one of the most live watched networks, full stop. Okay. Not just within the Hispanic community, but total. So if you are trying to reach Hispanics, Univision is, again, I think at the last time I looked, it was an extremely high number, meaning people aren't DVRing shows on Univision and watching later. They're watching literally
yeah,
live.
That's significant. Right. Yeah.
And so to understand where people are, how are they digesting? But I'm going to tell you the dirty secret that a lot of people are going to get pissed at. When you buy legacy television, cable or broadcast, and you have a consultant that goes out and do this, they get between 10 and 15% of the buy. So you make $1 million buy, and for literally calling and saying, I would like to buy $1 million of television, they get between $100,000 and $150,000.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Now, they call and say, I want to buy the Sean Spicer show. They get probably zero. They call and they want to buy a bunch of digital ads, probably zero. Like, there's not what they call a placement fee. In most cases, some cases they get something, but it's definitely not even close to what that is. So if you're a consultant and you're representing a candidate who raises, you know, a couple million dollars, where are you going to tell them to put your money? Not in places where they don't get anything. We have a consulting class that, especially on the broadcast side, we saw it here in Virginia, who don't want to do what would be the right thing because they don't make money.
Yeah, look, I think you're right about this, and nothing against my friends who are consultants who are probably listening right now, but it's my biggest miss in life, I think, not getting in on that grift, let me tell you, because you don't have to win. You don't have to really have a winning record, right? No.
By the way, not only that, you usually do better if you lose. Why?
Yeah.
Because if you lose, then someone says, oh my God, I want to run next cycle. Well, who did so-and-so use last time? Oh, they used, you know, the Reardon Group, and they've got experience in Missouri or Virginia. And so suddenly you go use it. So, well, you know how much it's going to take for that race? At least a couple million dollars. So you immediately get to do it all over again in most cases. Now, if you win and your guy goes outside the margin of error, well, you know, he's probably not going to have a tough race. He's not going to spend as much on ads. I mean, so again, keep in mind, the system actually benefits consultants in a lot of cases for losing.
Yep, I know, and I'm glad that you emphasized that point. It's important. Well, we're getting really long in the tooth here, but I got to get your thoughts on one more thing. Because she's from here in St. Louis, and we're seeing her so much on national television, Jasmine Crockett changing the way she talks since she left here and went to this fancy private school, MICDS, Sean. What do you make of this? Because obviously she's great fodder, not unlike Cori Bush. The president's already having fun with it. She can't really think she can win the Senate and seat in Texas. She's just trying to draw more attention to herself. And there's a part of me that feels a little guilty because I think we give her the attention that she wants.
Well, look, let's just face what happened. Colin Allred, who was the Democratic nominee last time in Texas, immediately dropped out and said, I had a conversation with her. He knew he couldn't beat her. This is a guy who raised a ton of money, who ran a campaign last time in Texas, statewide, obviously huge name ID. And he basically said, she's going to beat me. Now, she will win the Democratic primary. That is a massive gift. But again, I got to emphasize this, after Jay Jones, after Apton Benn in Pennsylvania, anyone who doesn't think that this is a serious thing for our side is missing things. She is a joke, okay? But, and again, depending on who gets nominated on the Republican side, but this is where that party is, you know, post-Mondami. They are all in on this.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. And it's going to be interesting to see how it kind of all plays off. We will check out The Huddle, the soft launch underway. It's going to kick off on January 5th. Sean, so appreciated whenever you come on here. Thank you so much. Have a great Christmas.
You too. Merry Christmas, Mark.
I'm going to wrap up the first hour here. We'll bring our friend Alex Rich into the mix in the 4 o'clock hour. Sue is off today. We usually have a lot of fun with Alex, and we'll continue to do so. He told a story on Monday afternoon that was quite remarkable. He is an Indiana University alum. He went to the Big Ten championship game. He literally managed to sneak into the game. There was someone who had a lanyard of some sort. Maybe we'll refresh everyone's memories, and he got into the game. But then he also told me he had a great comfort in story to share, and we didn't have time for that on Monday, so we'll get with Alex here in the next hour. I got a bunch of things that I want to share. So I mentioned this about 25 minutes ago, and I find it fascinating. Scott Jennings texted me this morning and said, it was a tweet that he shared from his Twitter account, which showed a picture of John Mozeliak. Now, Scott's got this Salem syndicated radio show. We air it at 8 p.m. every evening on 97.1 FM Talk. It's just an hour show for now. It started probably about, I can't even believe it's been about 5 months since he started. I think he started in June. So he decided, and it was funny because we wanted to pull some of the audio from this, and I think Ethan and I both assumed, this is your typical 7 to maybe 12-minute guest window. No. He did his entire show with Mo today. No, Scott did not know Mo. I mean, I don't think he had any relationship with him at all. And he got into a bunch of different things, and they did this. We'll play this after the top of the hour. I guess Scott does this little rapid-fire question deal with guests, and he did it with Mozeliak. And then the other thing that he just told me, and I don't know if I have the audio from this, he admitted to having a secret Twitter account at one time. I don't know if that was just to see what other people were saying, but this could be immensely entertaining. So we'll have some of that audio here in the next hour. And then I got a couple of things that I want to toss out to the gang here as well. After 5 o'clock, Dwayne Patterson with hotair.com. Look, that speech tonight was quite something, last night rather, in Pennsylvania. It really was. It was Trump being Trump, but you know, as you heard Sean Spicer express a fair amount of concern about the midterms, I don't know that I'm as worried as he is from this perspective. Look, historically, I mean, I'm expecting that we'll get a shellacking in the fall, but I don't think it's impossible to maybe salvage a bunch of these seats. And the way to salvage those seats is to get out there and get into these districts where these Republicans need to be elected. And I think that that's maybe what kicked off last night. There is no way, though, that 90-minute speeches that ramble are going to be sustainable for this next year. Having said that, you know, the president probably a bit limited in what he can do legislatively because he won't be, he'll be more in a lame duck position than he is right now into 2026. But we'll get Dwayne's thoughts on that and all things political in the 5 o'clock hour. This is a very interesting story for parents. I think they should really be interested. Australia has just begun the first social media ban for kids under the age of 16. One of the questions that I have is how are they going to do that with the age verification? We'll find out. George Rosenthal from ThrottleNet, who's always great on all these topics, joins us at 5:30. Plus, I will have an audio cut of the day.
Get more at 971talk.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.